Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Today I want to start with the title of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the kingdom of God's amazing grace. I think it's real important this week, just before Thanksgiving here in 2022, it's important that we understand that God gave grace for us to live by. And it's by His amazing grace that we're even able to function in life. I mean, really, God's grace in our lives is the only way that we're able to live in the kingdom of God. We've been talking about it all year. Jesus has come, and we need to understand why. We need to understand His amazing grace. I just got to talk about it today. So many of God's people have lost the amazing part of grace. They really have. I mean, I'm believing for amazing to come back. With God's people, we've talked about the supernatural rest this year that's available in God's grace. And if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 11. We'll just start right out this morning. I got a lot to talk about, and I got a short time to get it all done. So let's take off here. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." There is a place in and with Jesus that in His grace, rest is brought into our life. For those of you that have dealt with anxiety, stress, "I don't know how I'm going to make it for the next minute, let alone the next day," you need to hear what God has to say through this word today. I think it'll impact your life. We just live in a world that's filled with stress and no rest. No rest. Jesus is teaching us how to live a stress-free life, and we can live free from stress, worry, and fear, anxiety. Everything in life, the enemy has this design to try to cause stress for you, to cause life to live in anxiety. We've got to figure out how to enter His rest that's made available. We got to understand that, and it comes through understanding and having a wider picture, a wider view, and a bigger application of grace. I've learned so much going through this pandemic. We've already had testimony this morning to what this virus caused and has done. And there's so many things that as a pastor, my lane, I witnessed, and that He taught me as we navigated, went through this thing in the body of Christ. And I have been reluctant to talk a lot about it as we were going through it. And I've been trying to wrap my mind around what lessons can we learn over what's happened the last 2 years. I mean, there's some lessons that the body of Christ needs to get. And I'm convinced that we were not prepared as the body of Christ for what happened. I'm convinced of that. And I'm not talking just here. I'm talking about the church. Macro, not just the micros. Here's the thing, I'm even more convinced that we're not prepared for what's on the horizon. Fear, worry, stress, anxiety dominated our world over the last 2 years, the pandemic. But here's the sad part, it dominated the hearts of too many of God's people. I saw fear running rampant in the church as it was in the world. And God's people have got to get to a place of allowing God's amazing, marvelous, magnificent grace to keep us in his kingdom regardless of what the world's throwing at us. I mean, the enemy was using this whole thing to halt the body of Christ, to stop them and even remove them. And the way he did it was through fear and anxiety. God's people didn't know how to find grace in time of need. Let me say that again, because I'm going to explain that line today, prayerfully. God did not leave, forsake, get rid. He gave us what we were in need of during this time. We didn't know how to find the grace that we were in need of. We've got to be honest in our evaluation of how the church handled COVID-19. Because if we can't look back and figure out what we should have done different or where we missed it, where we missed God's grace, then I promise you, and you just write this down, COVID-19 was just a dress rehearsal of what is to come. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to wake up and go, hey, I, as your body, God, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready because I'm going to understand more of your kingdom and how to live in it when the world is in chaos. When you can't handle a conversation about masks and a shot, oh, we go in there again? Yep, I've been off of it for a while. I just can't. And staying at home and closing every door and trying to decide who is essential and who is not, we've got trouble. Yeah. I made the comment several times, and I got in trouble for it every time by somebody getting on to me, that a mask and a vaccine mandate is actually a spirit of Antichrist. Now, some of you might agree with this, and I offended a few, and I might be offending you now. And hear me out. Here's why I said that. The spirit of Antichrist, right out of Revelation, says that you won't be able to buy or sell unless you receive the mark of the beast. What did not wearing a mask or not getting a shot do? It caused you to not be able to buy or sell. It has the spirit of Antichrist. And you've got to hear what I'm saying when I'm talking about this. I'm not saying that that was the mark of the beast. I'm saying it has the spirit. It's a dress rehearsal of what is to come. And if they can mandate a shot, and the government is doing a dress rehearsal, and they mandate one shot, why can't they mandate 20 or 40 shots? See, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking about this. This is political. No, this is the kingdom of God. And we have to understand it. I mean, truly, 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 there is going to be a time where you have to stand up. And this was a dress rehearsal. And I'm telling you, the church failed the dress rehearsal in a lot of ways. Now, what can they do in the future if they can get us to submit to their rule in the natural? So many Christians just don't understand grace, and they didn't through this pandemic. They simply could not hear the Spirit of the Lord and what he was saying. My concern now is if we don't learn from what we just went through, then there'll be a soon coming crisis that we won't know how to navigate through. And I'm teaching this right now, not on the back end, I'm teaching it on the front end of what's to come. Yeah. Where will God's people be when the next attack, if it's not already started, comes on our people? We have to develop how to live in the kingdom of God under his kingship, under his rule, and have to acknowledge his grace in a world that has no knowledge of him, and some Christians who say they do in word only, but not in deed. We've got to know how to stand. We got to know how to be loyal and sensitive to Jesus and have faith in his amazing grace that will cause you to stand. And after you've done all you can do, you stand again. And you just keep standing, and you stand because his amazing grace will clothe you. His armor will clothe you. Everything that the Bible says is available for you, we've got to have in our arsenal when the next attack comes on God's people. There was an attack to shut down the churches. We can leave bars, we can leave cannabis, we can leave all this other stuff open because everybody's in need of this. But people were in need of God, and he wasn't anywhere to be found in God's people. I'm passionate about this. Why? Because I saw church after church shutting down, including this one, because we didn't know what was going on. And we shut down a few weeks. We opened up quicker than about anybody else. I get that. But we didn't know what was going on. And what I can tell you is I can look back now, and I'm not here to deny that there wasn't something going on with sickness, disease. That's been going on for generations, though. And we're not going to shut the church down. We got to get the message to the body of Christ and get them to equip themselves so they can be equipped to handle what's on the horizon. As your pastor, I'm going to continue to grow in grace, and I'm going to allow his grace to rest me, to bring rest to my soul, a rest to my heart, and I'm not going to live in stress. I was just visiting this week. Kenan and I had the opportunity to hang out a little bit, and I was just telling Kenan. Kenan's like, oh no, here we go. You hang out with me, and you show up right there in the sermon. But I was just telling you, I've just got to a place where I just don't get real moved by things that are coming against the Word of God. I get moved on the things that line up with the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying that I won't launch counterattacks based on the Word, but I'm just saying I'm not letting something that's not lining up with the Word move me or my family. It's just not happening. That's not what's going to... I'm going to allow rest to be on my soul. You know how rest comes? Through God's grace. That's how it comes. And God's already helped us. We've made his word applicable, or we haven't. And if we make his word applicable, then we're not stressed and full of anxiety and I don't know what we're going to do mindsets. We don't live there. There are three ways that I want to share this morning, and I got a whole lot more to talk about after that. But here are three ways from Matthew 11:28 that will allow us to flow in his grace. A lot of people understand his grace. Well, it was grace when I got saved, and that's the last time you accessed his grace. Was just when you got saved. Everybody knows it took grace to get saved. By grace, you're saved. By grace. I mean, it's only through God's grace that you can have salvation. But we've got to learn to flow in his grace. We've got to be able to move in his grace. And doing these things will allow you to be able to live in the kingdom of God. And that's what we've been talking about all year. Here they are, real quick. 1, 2, 3. It says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary, carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Come to me. That's number one. That's first point. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me. Second point is, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Number three, let me teach you. Let Jesus teach you. Learn from him. Learn some translations of him. Let's talk about these. Number one, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'm not gonna ask for a raise of hands, but I'm going to ask you, how many of you have been weary and feel like you're burdened? Come on. I don't know how I'm going to make it to tomorrow. I mean, how? Jesus says, come to me if that's where you're at. Come to me and I'll give you rest. And we got to see this. Come unto a person. Come unto a person, not a doctrine. Don't come unto a doctrine. Don't come unto a teaching. Don't come unto whatever new book is coming out on the shelf. Oh, I could get that one because that's going to teach me how to handle my kids. That's going to help me in dealing with my employees. Come unto me. We've just missed that. It's so simple. But Jesus said, come unto me. Not a doctrine, not a teaching, not a philosophy. There's no spiritual authority that is on this planet that has made that claim except for Jesus. He's the only one that made the claim and said, come unto me. Even the false messiahs, the false prophets, They didn't make the claim to come unto themselves. They may have said, come to my teaching, but they didn't say, come unto me. They may have said, come under my methods, come under my doctrine, come under my great revelations that I have for you. But Jesus said, come to me. He made it real personal. He said, come under the person of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, come to this and you will find rest. Come to this system and you'll find rest. Are you getting this? Come to this strategy. Come to this church and you'll find rest. No, he said, come to me. Come to me. Everyone has something that they think if they go to, they'll get rest. Come to this vacation, and man, I'm telling you, you'll be good. Come to this. If I could just go and deer hunt all week, I'd be good. I've had to fight that. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, and that's where your rest is found. We could stop there, and if you don't get anything else out of what I've said today, you may need it to hear. Come to this. And you will have rest. Come to this. Jesus didn't say, come to this. He said, come to me. He said, come to me. All of this deception in our society, all of this creating fear, worry, and division, and all this chaos, do you realize what they said is, come to a mask, come to a shot, and we'll all be fine. Yeah. Jesus said, come to me. Yeah. And so what do you want to do? I'll just keep everybody out of the church, and then they can't. What they didn't realize is it's not the coming to church that gets you in a position. I'm not saying don't come to church. What I'm saying is Jesus said, come to me. The reason the church is collapsing right along with our country is the church is coming to everything but Jesus. We've got to learn to come back to him. If you were once there, you need to come back, and it's only through his grace that you can come back. And it starts and it maintains and it goes continually. His grace didn't stop at salvation. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And I know Ron gave testimony this morning, and we didn't collaborate. I mean, you can ask him. This was in my notes. I'm always amazed at how God brings the right person up here to set the hearts and minds up for what God has to say today. Last week, same thing. I just continually am amazed at what God is continuing to try to speak to us. People will come to Jesus to get saved, but then they look to their family. They look for other areas to bring peace and rest. They'll come to Jesus' grace to get saved, but then after salvation, we're going to media, to finances, to looking for peace in a world that none of that supplies it. So just don't come to Jesus to get started, but continue to come to him, so that we can live continually. I heard it said like this. Not like this. If you're experiencing a spiritual hernia, you're trying to pick up something that the Lord didn't tell you to pick up. As pastor, I see it all the time. People picking up concerns of the world, developing this chicken little hysteria, and holding on to something that Jesus didn't ask you to catch. Jesus didn't ask you to pick that up and hold on to it. Boy, I'm holding the whole world's problems. Boy, it was a relief and a whole peace for me when God said right in the middle of the pandemic, you just do what I tell you to do. Yeah. And you got to be careful about trying to do everything that the world's telling you to do. I didn't ask you to do that, Ashley. So why are you doing that? I mean, I found myself doing it all the time. I didn't ask you to do that, and you're doing it. We wonder why we're burdened and have no peace. We wonder why we're struggling and can't handle our load. It's because coming to Jesus would mean that he would lead us into the second point. He would be able to yoke up with us, and we'd head in the right direction. He said, take my yoke. The second point here, Matthew 11, 29, be yoked to him. Come to me, and after you come to Jesus, you take his yoke. Make sure you're yoked up to Jesus, not Dr. Fauci. Not politicians. Yeah. Let's say it like this, and I've talked about it a lot this summer. You need to be married to Jesus. What does that mean? I'm married to Jesus. Being married means you're loyal. You're loyal above all other loyalties. You're loyal. We've seen people the last 2 years yoked up to news sources, yoked up to politicians. And some of these politicians are demonic of nature. I mean, they're leading a demonic. People had allegiance to everything but Jesus and caused their heart to stress, worry, fear, anxiety, taking over God's people because we're yoked up wrong. I'm just telling you, you're yoked up to a news source and you're in the news more than you are the word. You're yoked up wrong. It's a sad day in the church when we're led by everything but Jesus. We're led by our flesh, emotions. We have a yoke and a loyalty to our flesh. Many in the United States culture are seeing race as the most important issue, more important than God's grace. I understand that for someone who's not saved and not experienced God's grace, but for those that are saved, check in the Christian box, and we're saying grace is not as important as race. And we get this thing that I'm just telling you today, grace is more important than race. Pastor, you're a racist. No, I'm a gracist. Now, race issues can be issues, but it's only when there's more allegiance to their flesh than there is to the grace of God. In Missouri, legalizing marijuana was more important than anything Jesus had to offer. Pastor, you going there? You bet. We're yoked up to wrong things. We are. We're yoked up. We're yoking up to things that, see, we have in our mind the picture of two oxes when you talk about yokes. And two oxen have been yoked together and they are not going in two separate directions. And that's not ever what you think. When you think of two ox yoked up, they only going in the same direction. They're right there together. One don't go to another place, the other one don't. I mean, that's just where they go. The concept of a yoke is to not live independent of the other. You're working together. You're headed to the same place. You're trying to accomplish the same things. Look at it like this. When we get saved, you need to know that you got married. You married Jesus. When you're married, things change. I didn't realize that when we got married. I thought everything would be the same. And I could still enjoy every hobby that I've ever had in my whole life. So I cut it down to one or two, and she didn't even like those two. But I'm just telling you, you married, and when you got married, things changed. You don't live single anymore. You live changed, and hopefully for the better. And there's some figuring it out for a while. You know, when you get saved, things should change. Yeah. And you're yoked up different. You came to Jesus, and then you yoke up with him. But so many get saved and don't live changed. They just don't. You're now united. You're living with one another. You're in partnership. Your loyalties are together. Is that the way you view Jesus, or do you? Are you yoked up? When you meet Jesus, you leave and cleave to the Lord, and you're married to Jesus. The law is not who you're married to. We're in a new covenant. The law's a bad husband. You can never do enough right. You never do enough to be blessed. But people are trying to leave married to the law, and then they leave church because everybody's condemning me. Jesus says, I'll be everything you need the rest of your life. Everything that you're in need of, yoke up with me, come to me. I am what you need. I have all the grace that you'll ever need. And what you've got to learn is you've got to learn to take that grace. You've got to learn to take it. I'll talk more about that in a moment. Number three, Jesus said, let me teach you. In the New King James Version, he said, learn from me. Other version says, learn of me. That means learn the person of. The first 2 points are actually achieved in number three. Come unto me, yoke up with me, and then you can learn. See, it's achieved. You can't really let him teach you and know of him and know about him and know him unless you've come to him and you're yoked up with him. So that it doesn't work any other way. Understanding how to live daily in his amazing grace is a big deal. John 17, verse 3, and says, Jesus says, this is a way to have eternal life, to know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Many people know about God, but they don't know God. I really was wanting an amen there, so I'm going to just stop and say that again and give you an opportunity. Many people know about God, but don't know God. See, that was weak, but I'm good. Learn of or learn from me. That's eternal life. That's eternal life. This is the way to have eternal life, to know you. The way you have eternal life is to know Jesus. Life comes eternally by you knowing him. Everything in life as a Christian and in his kingdom is about learning more about Jesus. Jesus shows me something of himself in every problem that I've ever had. If you look back at it, Jesus will say, okay, here's where you didn't learn what I've tried to show you, but now you can. Time and time again, I've had this. I've got to remind myself that taking his yoke upon me means that there are times I turn it over to him and it's no longer my problem, it's his problem. And sometimes I've even prayed, God, I hate this for you, but I'm not holding this one. This is yours. It took me a long time to get that, and maybe that'll help somebody today. But you're taking this problem and it's all on you, and at some point you've got to understand you've yoked up, and what you need to learn is I'm not handling this one on my own. I'll do what he says. I'm right there with him. But I'm just not. This is his deal, and I don't know how you're going to handle it, but what I can tell you is your solution will do way better than mine would. Because right now, a good gun to the head and a bullet inside of it would be my solution. See, that's not a good idea. That's flesh. Yeah. But I'm yoked up, and God reminded me of that, and all of a sudden, I'm putting the gun back in my pocket and say, okay, in the name of Jesus, thank you. I'm yoked up with you. This is your problem, but I'm here as your servant. And I'll do what you say when you say to do it. When you learn how to flow in grace and it's implemented into your life, you'll set in action some supernatural things. Boy, I'm just wanting to see God supernaturally do something. Are you in a place where you have came to him? Are you yoked up with him? And are you learning from him? You got to ask those questions. Many of us, when we are suffering, we get this mindset that God don't even care. God don't care. I mean, I'm suffering, God. Can't you see me? But when you see him and know that he suffered, all of a sudden you can get in fellowship with him because you know he suffered too. You're not the only one suffering. Jesus suffered. He relates to that. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is there. He's not doing any bad thing to you, but he wants to reveal himself to you in the middle of bad things. He's not doing anything bad to you, but he's trying to reveal himself to you in the middle of some bad things. He wants you to know that he is still revealing himself in partnership with you, and he's setting up the ability for you to know him more. Paul said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection and in the fellowship of your sufferings. Paul suffered. I want to know you, and I want to fellowship with you because I know what you went through. When you're feeling rejected, you need to know this. Jesus has been right there. The only reason you're being rejected is because of the Spirit of Christ in you. The only reason you're being rejected is because of the Spirit of Christ in you. That's the only reason you're being rejected. You wouldn't be rejected by this world if you were of this world. You wouldn't. See, because you are not of this world, you will be hated. They hated him. Guess what? When you yoke up with him, who they gonna hate? You. It's just the way it is. I don't like it either. All right, that's my introduction. Now I'm getting ready to preach. I got time, I'm going on. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm confident that I will not get through this today. Well, you of little faith. No, I got way too much for 20 minutes. I don't want to just talk about the theology of grace today. The 3 points that I gave you to start with the introduction is what you've got to understand to even get a taste of his amazing grace. If you're not coming to him, If you're not yoked up with him and you're not learning of him, then grace is not what you're living by. It may have been what introduced you to him, but it's not what you're living continually in. Now, grace, I want to flow in grace, and I want this to be your heart, because I am convinced that if we don't teach this and get a concept of this now, this next crisis that hits our country, the church will fold. We've got to live with some real foundation. Ron, you did great this morning. How to flow in grace? We got to answer two big questions. Here they are. What is grace? And where is grace? 1 Corinthians 15, you can turn there. I'll be there eventually. Most people, when you say grace, their basic understanding of grace is a dominant definition that's been in the church world forever. And it's called, everybody could probably say this themselves if you studied grace at all, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Charis. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Basically, a favor that we cannot merit. So we have God's favor, and we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. It was unmerited. Everybody understand this? So following with me. That definition is not incorrect. So everything I say from this point forward, don't send me an email. If you're listening to this on podcast, I'm going to send this part right back to you. That is not an incorrect definition. But it is incomplete. If that is all you know about grace, you'll miss what's available. Get this, if it is unmerited, then you have all the grace that you'll ever have available to you. Nope, you'll have all the grace with you, and that's the thought of many Christians. They have all the grace, so how can I get more grace if it's unmerited? It's already all been given. There are scriptures, though, that talk about more grace. So if you already have all of God's grace, since it's unmerited, then how can you get more? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. How can more of something be given if it's already unmerited? Now, if I am confusing you, that's good. So you'll pay attention to the rest so I can hopefully make sense of this. Learn of me, our third point that we talked about, that you have to have the flow in grace. My level of grace in practicality is directly related to how much I learn of him. And it can be multiplied to you and I as we learn more and more. May God give you more and more grace as you grow in your knowledge. That's what 2 Peter says. The Bible says there's something we can do to get more. There's something we can do. We can grow in knowledge. There's something we can do more to get more. Why does it say then unmerited favor? Once again, I'm not putting it down. But if you've never thought of that, now you have. Great, I've confused everybody. Over the last several years, I've just learned so much more as I've continued to come to him, as I've stayed yoked up to him, and I've continued to learn from him. While there is unmerited favor, that's a part of it, undeserved and unearned favor of God. I get that part of grace. But grace is something in 1 Corinthians 15, it teaches what grace does. Now, grace is something, but grace does something. It is something, but it does something. When we have it, it's unmerited. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. The grace of God brings salvation and has appeared, shown up to everyone. Grace literally teaches you to live holy. And it doesn't only teach you to live holy, it teaches you how to live holy. Grace is something and it does something. Are you getting that? It is something and it does something. It teaches us how to live in this world. Many never get that grace does something. They never get that process in their head. Grace does something in your life. It's not just made available to you. It is given to you to do something. Grace does something in your life. It makes us who we are. God's power to do the works of Jesus comes through grace. Now, His grace makes you a new creation. You cannot, in your own power and human ability, be made the righteousness of God. Not one of us can. So what makes us who we are is God's grace. God's grace. Grace makes you saved, makes you a disciple. It makes you a Sunday school teacher. It makes you, whatever you're doing in the kingdom of God, it makes you a pastor. God's grace does that. I'm just telling you, there's a supernatural grace to do what nursery workers do. There is. And of the pastors that are on staff here that are pastoring different areas in this ministry, there's a supernatural grace, or I'm telling you, see you later. But God's grace will allow you to continue in the area that He's called you to be in. It's through His grace. Grace makes you whatever you are in the kingdom of God. Paul said, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now, I am who I am by the grace of God. And we understand that we are saved by grace. But what does that mean? You're saved by grace. What does that mean? God's power has saved me. Not my own power. God's power saved me. God's ability demonstrated in Jesus on the cross has made me who I am. Not anything I could have done, not my own ability, it's God's grace. When I got that truth in my understanding and in my thinker, I'm just telling you, I could sing in front of people, but I couldn't talk. You say, really? Yeah, you're watching God's grace right here. I could talk one-on-one all day long, but to stand before a group of people and open my mouth, ooh. I don't know if I can do that. If you've been asked to give your testimony at the beginning of our service, you can't. And some of you will say, I can't. It's not my gifting. It's not. No, God's grace will allow you to open your mouth. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. So good.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
She didn't ask for that. It's God's grace.
God's grace.
It's only through His grace that you're able to do anything. It's only by His grace you're able to be saved. Yeah. Why don't you think you need it past salvation? Well, I never thought of it like that. Well, maybe now you would. John 1, verse 11 says that Jesus came unto His own and they rejected Him. But as many as received it, to them gave His power to become the sons of God. It was God's power that saved you. What was that? Grace. It was God's power that justified you. What was that? It was grace. It was God's power that made you an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. What was that power? It was His grace. Ooh, I like this. To as many as believed Him, God's power, His amazing grace came. It's God's grace that makes you who you are. Back to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they. Who's they? The other apostles. Paul, you can be read and sometimes looked at, well, he's kind of egotistical. No, he just said, I've done more than any of them. If you work at a job, and you work really harder than some of the guys you work with, you know this thought process. It's not that you're being egotistical, it's just fact. They went to break, they didn't do anything. I worked all day, and they didn't. Paul's just saying, I worked more than any of them. But then he goes on to say, and I like this, yet not I. It was the grace of God in me. He realized the only reason I was doing that wasn't to show myself better than them. It was so I could see that God is the one who gives me the power, the grace. Are you getting anything from this today?
Yeah.
Paul was saying before this, I don't deserve to even be called an apostle. Right before this in 1 Corinthians, he said, I was there at Stephen's death. I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. Now he's saying, I labored more than any of them. It wasn't his labor. It was the labor that he subjected himself by yoking up with Jesus, knowing who he is and saying it was by his grace. Come on, some of you don't know how you're going to get through your day. It's by his grace, and his amazing grace starts being implemented into your life, and you can live tomorrow. Well, you don't know who I got to work with. I don't know who you work with in the naturally, but who you're supposed to be working with in the spirit. You yoked up with Jesus. What I'm telling you is you can go to work. You can get up and be functional during the day. Well, I got so many things on my list. Praise God. I'm yoked up with Jesus. I've given it to him. His yoke, his burdens, all that's light and easy. Let's go. I'm trying to motivate somebody. Because some of y'all thinking about quitting. Paul's saying, I did it by grace. When you understand the grace to be and the grace to do, you'll only boast in the grace of God. It is his grace as you flow in his grace daily. It's because you come to Jesus, you stay yoked, and you learn of Jesus. That's how you are and do. That's how it works. People will take God's grace to get saved, and then they take it back over. Say, okay, I'm not living by grace anymore. It'll be all my power. You don't say that, but that's what your actions are doing. You're trying to figure out how to work out every detail, and you haven't went to God and said, okay, you're the detail worker here. I'm just submitted to you. And your grace will get me through. We want to learn how to be a new creation. We've got to learn about his grace. How are we going to live a new? I was a new creation when I got saved. That way I get to go to heaven. Well, how are you going to get through tomorrow at school? How are you going to get through tomorrow at work? How are you going to get through tomorrow at home? I don't know how I'm going to do it. Maybe you just go back to an old song. God, I need your help. Where are you? Oh, yeah, you suffered. You understand my suffering. I got it. Yeah, and I'm coming to you. Thank you that I'm yoked up with you. I'm learning from you. There are things I've learned. There's things I've sung and said, and it came out my mouth, but it really wasn't in my... Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on, we all know that. And we look back to salvation and we go, thank you for saving me. And we realize the supernatural act that took place just to get you out of hell and into heaven. How about recognizing that same grace that's available to get you out of the hell you're in right here and into heaven? Because the world's getting ready to throw hell at you. The best it can do. Now, it's not compared to the hell that the devil and his angels. But right now, the little god of this world's doing everything he can to win a battle. But God's already made everything available to whoop him. And at some point, we've got to understand amazing grace. I got a whole lot more to talk about. I made it through about 25% of what God has given me. And I knew I wouldn't make it because I've got to spend some time on this. We're going to get it into our hearts. But you've been given enough today to walk out there and say, okay, this week, am I coming to Jesus? Come on, everybody needs to, I'm coming to Jesus. And when I come to him, I'm going to yoke up with him. And when I yoke up with him, I'm going to learn from him. How are you going to learn from him? You pray, you talk to him, you visit, you build a relationship, you spend some time in the Word, you maybe put on some praise music. I'm just telling you, this week I was sitting in a blind in Cedar Creek, Missouri, and I'm spending time with the Lord, and I'm listening to podcasts, I'm doing different things, and I'm typing. I've got my computer in my blind, and I'm sitting here typing because God's given me, I mean, I already had a message wrote for today, and God said, this is what you got to tell him. As I was spending time, and I was coming to him, and I'm yoked up with him, and I'm learning more from him, I'm like, this is what you got to say. Pastor, this is what you got to tell him. Come on, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. If you've been living in frustration with things in this world, just come to Jesus. Let him lead your life. He is worth it.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.